Hi, this is Justin Halliday, the creator of Hero Kids, and you're listening to The Family Gamers.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of The Family Gamers. This is episode number nine.
Number nine. Nine likes to stand on his head. No.
I was going Beatles.
Oh.
You were going They Might Be Giants.
I was going They Might Be Giants.
Children's songs. Anyway, welcome to the show. We are here. I am Andrew.
I am Anitra.
And we are The Family Gamers. We are super excited to be here, especially since we're going through like podcast withdrawal because last week we
missed a week.
We didn't have a podcast last week because real life is real.
We are redoing our kitchen on top of all our normal commitments, and there's no time for anything.
Yeah, I got textually accosted by a listener this week because I ruined his drive home because he didn't have a show to listen to.
We're sorry.
Sorry, man. But
hopefully this makes up for it.
Yeah, we're here. We're excited. We have an interesting topic this week that we're going to talk about. But before we talk about what we did this week, I did want to mention that a listener of the show sent me an article this week about screen time.
Really?
So, yeah. So we had talked about screen time in the past. We had an entire, actually two shows talking about screen time and how to deal with screen time.
And I mentioned how the AAP,
APA,
American Association, the American Pediatric Society, whatever it is.
AAP.
How their recommendation of no screen time at all before age two is just silly and ludicrous.
Right. So there's an article on Wall Street Journal about this topic. And essentially, the really quick version of it is they basically said, we're sorry. When we came out with these recommendations, it was right around when the iPad first came out. And so the stuff that you can now do with the screen is not equivalent to what we were thinking about you could do with the screen at the time.
Yeah.
And so if you think of it as, you know, TV and video games only, I suppose.
Well, basically they're pointing out in the article that that it's the difference between passive media and active media, and that like doing a manipulative game is different from sitting and watching TV, is different from FaceTiming with grandma.
Right.
I think they mentioned somewhere in here that the more human interaction a kid had while doing screen stuff, whether it was somebody sitting next to them or part of what they were doing on the screen, the more human interaction they had, the more positive they would rate the experience, basically, the more well the child was developing.
Right. So here's something. So it says, in May, the AAP convened a symposium with top researchers and experts in the field of media use and children. Among the studies presented was research showing that when English-speaking nine-month-olds watched a Mandarin teacher on a television screen, there was no benefit as measured by change in brain activity. When the teacher was in the room, there was a lot of change. Other studies have highlighted the value of back-and-forth communication for children's learning. Children between the ages of 24 months and 30 months learned as many new words from a teacher via video chat as they did with live presentation. The more screen media mimics live interactions, the more educationally valuable it may be.
Yeah.
Said Dr. Brown.
They're rethinking the guidelines, and their recommendation right now, the recommendation for changing the guidelines is that children under 2 years can have 30 to 60 minutes of interactive media a day.
Right. And, you know, and again, this is a guideline.
Yeah.
This is something for people to think about and you know, whatever fits them or their families. And, you know, a lot of this is, as we had said before, is to really combat the 8-hour childcare approach of screen time.
One, I think it also mentioned there, like, still sticking your children in front of a screen, no matter what kind of screen, as a device to calm them down and keep them under control, not really a great idea.
Exactly.
I mean, nobody's gonna tell you you're an awful parent if you do it once in a while, but don't make a habit out of it.
Right. Yeah, if you need to take a shower,
please put
the rest of the world appreciates it.
Put a 10-minute TV show on so you can take a shower.
So anyway, we just wanted to mention that because that's something that we talked about in the past, and I know we have some listeners with younger children.
Yes.
And so that's something that we wanted to bring up. So
we're excited about that change.
My darling.
Did we play games this week? We've had two weeks of games to talk about.
Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. What have you played this week?
We played a little bit more than a week ago. World's Fair 1893.
That's a great game.
And I reviewed it. And there's a review on our website, thefamilygamers.com.
Yep, go to thefamilygamers.com and you can check out Anita's review of World's Fair 1893. It's a game that is, I think it's still active on Kickstarter.
I don't know.
And it is like 400% funded, so it will be made. The game is very close to completion anyway, so it's great. It's really good.
Yep. It's still on Kickstarter for about another week.
Awesome. So when you listen to this, hop onto Kickstarter. Or go to thefamilygamers.com. We link to the Kickstarter.
Yes.
Check it out. Great game. A lot of interesting information in it. There's some...
Yeah.
I mean, it's educational, but it's not, you know, the kind of thing that you would necessarily...
It's primarily a fun game.
Yeah.
And it has a small educational aspect.
Yeah, it's the flavor text gives you information and stuff like that. Yeah. So
but
definitely
we liked
check
it a lot.
That out. Great game. What else did you play?
What else did we play? We played more Ragnarok.
We did play more Ragnarok. We actually played Ragnarok with four people.
Yes, that was fun.
And that
it was super fun because the same night we played Takenoko, which is this cute game with a panda and growing bamboo. And I think we've talked about it in the past.
I don't think so because I don't think we had played it with the kids.
We hadn't played it with the kids yet.
No, we played it with our kids too.
We played it with the kids, and then later we played it with our gaming group. And the funny thing is, our gaming group, we played Takenoko, which is this fun little panda bamboo game, very cute. And we played Ragnarok, which is everyone dies. That's what happens in Ragnarok is everyone dies. You're fighting over food and supplies, and everyone's trying to die in battle rather than starving to death. And during Takenoko, Andrew got so mad he almost flipped the table.
I didn't almost flip the table.
It was mostly
fake rage.
But there was a lot of fake rage during Takenoko. And Ragnarok, which is this super bloody, awful game, we were like, hey, I'll sacrifice this guy so you can sacrifice this guy. It's all good. Like, we're all dying, but it's fine.
Yes, it was a little bit of a flip. A weird juxtaposition attitude approaching the game and the theme of the game.
Yeah.
So what else did you play?
Let's see.
You played some Super Mario today.
I played some Super Mario 3D World today.
I think that is the only video game that either one of us have played for the last 2 weeks.
We tried to play Portal.
We tried to play Portal today, but my Xbox 360 is apparently broken.
Yeah.
Which stinks.
So no Portal for us.
Wah wah.
Only if you count video games as console games. I have gotten back into playing a lot of Fruit Ninja.
Oh, boy. Old school Fruit Ninja?
They've updated, and they're doing a special 5th anniversary, like, mini-game, dealy
cool.
job competition.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
It's been fun.
Okay. Anything else?
I will think about it, but you go.
Okay. I've been playing
what
a lot of
play?
Lords of Waterdeep on the iPad. Because nobody ever wants to play that game with me. So I play it on my own.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Also, on Thursday night, a few days ago, we played a game that's coming out on Kickstarter next week called Alchemia.
Yep.
Alchemia. It's from a company called Kinsole Studios. And that is a complicated game.
Yes.
I think I probably liked it better than either of the other two people playing, one of which was my darling.
One of them was me. My overall review is it was an okay game. It was way more complicated than it needed to be. Like, it should be a complex game, but it was even more complex than it needed to be.
Right.
And we still had a lot of fun playing it, mostly from making fun of the game.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I just...
Once we got into it, we had fun playing the game, too. Like, it wasn't such an awful game that was our only release. It was an okay game, and we had fun playing together, even though, you know, it wasn't great. It wasn't ground-shaking or anything.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think that basically this is a game that's coming out, and it's really coming out with three extra
expansions
worth of complexity in the base box.
Yeah.
So this is a game basically where you are attempting to... be the first one to create this thing called the Crest of Creation. And in order to make the Crest of Creation, you have to gather resources, use those resources to buy recipes, then use those recipes to make items. And then once you've made a certain number of items, you can reveal parts of the recipe for the Crest of Creation, and then you can sacrifice items and resources to make the Crest of Creation.
Yes.
That's a lot. We played...
That's a lot, and you're not even mentioning some of the other mechanics that were in the game.
Right. I mean, there's some stuff with, like, the bazaar. You mean, like, yeah. The bazaar and stuff like that, right? And so, I think it was put together really well, but I think that, you know, first of all, this is something that it would really behoove people to take a look at, because it's almost impossible to describe while talking about it. But I think that instead of, you know, there were five different potential elements that could be used, it should have been maybe three in the base game. Then there was this weird planting mechanic, which just needed
sprouting mechanic. Yeah,
that was extra.
Yeah.
That's, by the way, why you guys destroyed me at the game.
Yeah.
And then there's extra special tiles in the foraging phase, which
when you're moving around gathering resources, there's extra special tiles and extra special things that they do. And on top of the fact that each resource card you draw, a lot of them can do special things, and each item does special things, and it just gets, like, everything is used for multiple things on top of there being, you know, extra things as well.
Right. So, I think that it's a good game in the sense that it's very complicated, and if you like that kind of build, like, really structured game where it's building upon itself, you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember Hexic?
I do remember Hexic.
Remember in Hexic where if you made a hexagon around something, it created another...
Created this little like flower type tile.
Yeah, it created a different thing. And then if you had to use all those to make a hexagon around something to make like the black pearls or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's
that whole crazy thing.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what it reminded me of. Mm. And it was such a pain in the neck to make those things.
Right.
Yeah. That was really what I was sort of thinking of, was that idea where it really, really stacked upon itself and became like challenging, but almost in a nuisance kind of way.
Yeah. Once we got a little ways in, it more felt like we were grinding to get more resources and make items than really having any kind of ongoing challenge. Right.
I think if you are in a play group where you like deep strategy games and you like complication, this is something that could be appealing.
Yeah.
If not, then this is maybe one to pass, because I think there's a lot of other stuff out there that would fit a little bit better.
This is definitely not a game to play with kids.
No, not even a little bit.
Nobody under like 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Absolutely. So that's pretty much it. That's all I have. Because, you know, most of the stuff that I played with you.
Yeah.
So.
I'm trying to think if I played any board games with children. Not really this week.
Yeah. We do have something interesting that we'll talk about next week. Our 7-year-old daughter Claire got her first
Kiwi crate.
And we'll give you some more details about that coming up next week.
Yeah, we only just got it today, so she hasn't had a chance to open it up and play with it yet.
Yesterday.
She was gone all day yesterday.
So why don't we take a break, and then when we come back, we are going to talk about...
We're going to talk about games.
That's very detailed.
When we come back, we will talk about different types of play, according to one researcher anyway, and what you can do in the world of games to encourage different kinds of play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we'll also talk about the question we posted on Facebook.
Yes, we posted a question on Facebook. If you are not part of our Facebook community, you should check us out at facebook.com/familygamersAA. We'll be right back. And we're back. You know what? It's funny. We might have completely glossed over some really epic gaming related things that we did earlier this week.
It's because we weren't really thinking about it as gaming.
But it is. It's
totally gaming.
So Monday, I decided that it would be fun to take my beautiful, beautiful wife to New York City.
New York City.
Get a rope.
We went to Brooklyn.
To the Bell House. to see a recording of
Ask Me Another.
Ask Me Another with Ophira Eisenberg.
It was great.
Her ripe begonias. These are all really funny jokes if you've ever listened to Ask Me Another.
For anyone who doesn't know, Ask Me Another is a trivia and quiz game show on NPR.
I was actually thinking about this today. So here's the thing. If you like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, this basically is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me for people 10 years younger. That's pretty much what it is, right? Well, I mean, I don't think it's a generational thing, but it's much more nerdy. It's that kind of nerdy subculture.
Wait, Don't Tell Me is already plenty nerdy, but Ask Me Another takes all the news out and just leaves you with the trivia and snarkiness.
Right. Lots of snark.
Lots of snark.
And there were special guests this week who were...
Ah! It was great. It was Lucy Lawless.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Bruce Campbell. So we were in a kind of a crowded room with 300 other of our closest friends.
Standing room only.
To check out the show. It's actually the Halloween episode, so it hasn't even aired yet. So that's what we did on Monday. And it was great. And if you're in the New York area, great. You should definitely see if you can get over there and check it out, because it was worth 7 hours of driving for us. So, yeah. Hey.
But we are big nerds.
Yep, we are
giant nerds. We even stayed afterwards and took pictures with Ophira Eisenberg and with the puzzle guru.
Yep, John Chinesky.
John Chinesky.
Who's a pretty swell guy. Anyway, we made a reference before we took a break to Facebook, because this week we asked a question.
And what was the question, Andrew?
The question was, what was your favorite game when you were a kid? And we got lots and lots of answers. We got video games. We got board games.
We got puzzle games.
Mm-hmm.
We got card games. And we... I guess that's it. That covers just about every kind of game, though, there is.
Yep. So let's see. Let's take a look at some of this. So one of our listeners posted the early years, the adolescent years, the teen years, various video games that they had played. I've never heard of Humongous Entertainment. Maybe that makes me a bad person.
Me either. It could be a generational thing.
Okay.
I think she's a little younger than us. Just a tiny bit too old.
Yeah. But then we've got Crash Bandicoot Racing, and of course, Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts was an excellent game.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out on the PlayStation 4 in 2016.
Ooh.
Yep. So that's pretty great. Let's see. Now this is right in my wheelhouse right here. Earthbound for the Super Nintendo. Do you ever play Earthbound? Do you know anything about it?
I know a little bit about Earthbound, but since my first always accessible to me video gaming experience, besides my Mac growing up, my first one was a Game Boy Advance.
That I bought for you in
that
college.
That you bought for me.
Awesome.
And at about that same time, a GameCube. So no, anything earlier than that is more of, I've just had passing.
Earthbound. Earthbound passing is like, if you took a Final Fantasy game and you made the character seem a little bit more American, and then the designer smoked a whole bunch of crack.
I've actually wanted to play Earthbound for years.
I've never heard that in my life.
I have a desire to play Earthbound.
Huh. All right, well...
I think it's on the Wii U...
Friend of the show. If you know where we can get a copy of Earthbound easily, if it's on the Wii U store or whatever, then I guess we'll just be buying it there. But let us know, because that's a game that I would be interested in having a Nitra play. So...
Oh, what's a few others? We got somebody who answered Contra.
Contra's a great game.
You can tell that was a man.
I guess
we had two different listeners who answered Pokemon in different iterations.
Mm-hmm. And was one of them my sister?
Of course, one of them was your sister.
Awesome.
I sometimes wonder if you really liked Pokemon as a child, if that means that you kept that kind of gotta catch them all collector mentality into adulthood. I don't know.
I'm not really sure. Let's see.
I was not a huge fan of the games like that as a kid.
See, we got some Super Mario 64, Ocarina of Time, multiple references. Those games were epic.
Oh yeah.
Did you play much Mario 64? No, because
I haven't played much Mario 64.
Oh man.
But I have played plenty of Ocarina of Time.
It's a great game.
It is a great game.
Wait, how did you play Ocarina of Time?
Let's see. Did we have a GameCube port of it, or did we have a Wii port of it?
I guess I had that GameCube port of it.
Yeah.
On the collector's disc.
Yeah.
All right. So We asked this question because we kind of wanted to just sort of see the kinds of things that our listeners were into.
Oh, and I wanted to mention one more from a much older listener, before all these newfangled fancy video games and even most board games that we have available to us now. She said her favorite games were poker or canasta with her cousins, or the slider puzzle.
The slider puzzles are awesome.
The slider puzzles are so awesome. It was one of the first Macintosh games.
Slider puzzles are so good they were baked into Wind Waker.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on. We also got chess.
Yep.
We got Marathon. Good
Ooh,
stuff.
Marathon's an excellent game.
Come on.
I was so excited when I saw Halo, and I was like, wait, Bungie, those are the guys who made Marathon.
Yeah. Let's see. Also, Life. Life got a couple of mentions. Did you ever play the game of Life?
I played the game of Life, sure.
Check. I don't know.
I didn't have it, but
yeah,
my parents were too smart for that.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed playing it.
Or was it like, all right, it's a game to play?
No, I enjoyed playing it, but I think if I had had it myself, maybe I wouldn't have enjoyed it so much.
Okay. You so know? You enjoyed the differentness of it.
Probably. Somebody actually said Monopoly on here, which surprised me. I was starting to think that Monopoly was one of those games where everybody has it, but it's everybody's like third or fourth choice game. It's only when you can't agree on anything.
Well,
else.
In her defense, she did say that she played it with her dad and he always cheated. So maybe it was like that she was forced into playing with the family.
Fair enough.
So. And maybe they bribed her with ice cream, and that player was her favorite game?
Maybe.
That sounds like something we would do to our kids.
It does.
Yeah.
There was also a listener who said Pretty Pretty Princess.
Oh, are you serious?
Which I had to look up. I was not familiar with this game.
Okay.
It makes me sad. And
Wait, the game makes you sad?
We're going to make a pact right now that we are never going to tell our daughter that this game exists.
That sound, you know, with a name like Pretty Pretty Princess, sounds like a good deal.
Oh right, your sister is so much younger. You wouldn't have been exposed to it either.
No,
It is a board game where you go around the board and collect different items of jewelry, and you must wear them all. And the one who gets the entire set of jewelry in their color then gets to compete for like a crown thing to win the game.
You know, that doesn't sound quite as bad as that Mall Madness.
Mall
game.
Madness is also pretty bad. I have to admit.
Is that the one that our daughter has?
Yes, that's the one that Claire has now. She loves that game. That's probably her favorite. What was your favorite game when you were a kid?
My favorite game growing up. So I got to the point, I don't remember how old I was, maybe 12. I had a $20 a week allowance.
Wow.
Yeah. And I saved that money up. Mm-hmm. And I bought myself a Super Nintendo.
Wow.
I did. I had self-control because I was motivated by The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
So I'm guessing that's your favorite game.
I just think it has to be. I mean, there's, you know, I remember when Super Mario 64 came out and my mind was just blown. I mean, completely blown, because that was really the first 3D platformer of that type. And you can make a pretty good argument that Donkey Kong 64 or Banjo-Kazooie really perfected that style of gameplay in a way that Mario 64... didn't, but Mario 64 really blazed the trail for it. And so that certainly is very, very high on the list. Ocarina of Time, I think, is just an epic game. But I just think, I don't feel like Ocarina of Time is when I was a kid quite as much.
You were less of a kid then?
Yeah, I was less of a kid then. I was more of a teenager. I mean, you know that I'm obsessed with Zelda in general. And yes. So it really isn't a surprise if I throw every Zelda game in the world.
Zelda, and Zelda.
On this list. Yeah, okay. But I probably have to say A Link to the Past, because it was such a seminal moment in my life when I really, it was my first genuinely significant purchase that I made.
Yeah.
And it was a Super Nintendo with A Link to the Past as a bundle. And so I just have so many, I played that game so many times.
Sure.
And I just think I have to pick that game.
You're actually making me want to change my answer, because I was thinking along the lines of board games, and I went through cycles of several different board games. I had a Double Dare, the home game that I liked playing with my friends for a while. There was some Haunted Mansion type game, a little bit like Mousetrap.
Mm-hmm.
I really always liked playing Troke with my parents. This is a game nobody will have ever heard of. It went out of print 20, 30 years ago, something like that. I liked that game a lot. But when you start talking about buying something with your own money, yes, yes. I bought all my computer games as a kid with my own money. And I had a anywhere between a $2 and $5 a week allowance. So I definitely valued the cheapness. But my favorite game by hours played has got to be Sim Tower.
Right, I knew you were going to say that.
Sim Tower, all the way.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few other games. I remember I had an N64, and they came out with the Memory Pack expansion. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And yet you had to like open the little panel in the front of the N64 and drop it in. And then I played so much Stunt Race FX because I had a friend named Andrew, ironically, and we would trade the cartridge back and forth, and he would beat my times and then give it back. And we did the same thing with Mario Kart 64.
Gotcha.
Those are really like, I don't want to say it was the golden age of video games.
It wasn't
or anything like that, but
it was your golden age.
Yeah, totally. It really was. I mean, and you know, whatever. Anyway, I could go on all day, but
yeah.
those are the games that I poured hours into, and mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even have the hours to pour anymore.
No.
So even though the games are arguably better, there's just something special about
kids,
some of that stuff.
Kids can do that. They have a tendency to just kind of latch onto something and play it to death. But even though they do that, usually, if you really, you know, walk through a week in a kid's life, they play in lots of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most dedicated gamer, generally that's not going to be the only thing they do all day long. So I was looking at some different articles online. There were a lot of things that talked about the six stages of development in play. I'm a lot less interested by that than like if you take a single kid, what are the different ways they play? And this one thing I found on about.com mentioned
about.com.
I know. Mentioned
like, did you get there from Ask Jeeves?
No, I didn't. it mentioned four different kinds, and I thought it was a good way to categorize different stuff.
Okay, what are the four kinds?
So, first kind is dramatic or fantasy play. This includes all kinds of story-based stuff, role-playing, dress-up, playing house.
Our kids play store.
Our kids
all
play
the
store.
Time.
I know a family whose kids are constantly playing restaurant. All that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Then there's competitive play. Almost every board game fits into this category.
Well, certainly when we were kids, every board game fell into this category.
But even most of them do nowadays. But it also includes things like playing soccer, you know, with friends or baseball.
Red Rover, send some kid over to break everybody's wrists.
Yeah, you know, Uno. Love Uno for competition.
Okay.
The third kind they had here was physical play, which would also include things like Red Rover and soccer and baseball, but also things that are not competitive,
like
physical play.
Swinging, running around,
or riding a bike, swimming.
Playing in the sandbox, dumping sand on mom's head.
Hopefully not.
Okay.
Playing in the sandbox would actually be, would cross categories with the fourth kind, which is what they call constructive play.
Okay.
Building stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Manipulating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, playing with blocks, playing with Legos, making a road, playing Jenga, playing Mousetrap, probably.
I actually really like that style of game. And, you know, we were talking before about how the AAP was changing his recommendations because of all this, you know, cool stuff that came out on the iPad and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking of Dino Trucks. Dino Trucks is exactly that kind of game,
yes.
But it's on the iPad, and so there's no mess.
Oh, man, you should see. I've seen some stuff linked on Facebook usually as a, you know, like Pinterest fail. People are always talking about with their little kids, like sensory boxes, fill them with beans or fill them with sand or fill them with water.
Fill them with scorpions.
But, you know, unless you have an incredibly well-behaved kid, what's the end result of that?
They dump it out.
You have a giant pile of beans on your floor or a huge pool of water all over everything.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of play is great. But yeah, it's also nice to do it without the mess.
Let's talk about these kind of four stages of play and we'll talk about them in a way that, you know, how can we as parents encourage this?
Sure.
Or,
well, if if you think about it, all four of these kinds of play, you need all four kinds to be a well-balanced person.
Mm-hmm.
So even as an adult...
So maybe how can we encourage some of this stuff?
Yeah, even as an adult, you can see... If you think about the ways that you like to interact with people, you can see a little bit of all this stuff. And people will lean one way or the other. Like, I think of a lot of the dads I know will certainly do a lot of physical play with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe constructive play as well, building stuff together. You know, hey, let's build a pillow fort or something
like
that.
Pillow forts are awesome.
Pillow forts are awesome. But they might be a lot less willing to do, say, fantasy type play, because especially if like you're a dad of daughters,
I'm not putting a skirt on.
And it's their idea of fantasy play is, I'm gonna be the princess, daddy, be my prince, or daddy, wear this necklace, or whatever it is.
Dads, wear the necklace, just do it.
Yeah,
but you know, one of the things you touched on that I think is really important is that really, with very few exceptions, the things that our kids do encompass more than one of the types of play.
Usually, yeah.
And so, you know, with our kids, and I mean, we're not sitting there with this deliberate act of attempting to get our children to engage in all four types of play, you know, as like check boxes before they go to bed at night or anything like that. But I think that we have a little bit of a feel of maybe when they're being too active, and so we need to rein them in and get them to do some things like, why don't we come inside and have some hot chocolate and play restaurant or play store or something like that. And really encourage the kids to do some of those other things, because I think for us, it's kind of innate. Like, we can sort of sense when our kids really, really want to keep doing something, but they're getting burned out on it or something like that.
An example I think of actually is when they're getting too competitive, because it talks about competition and competitive play. If they're getting too competitive, you know, whether it's some game they've made up in the backyard, or it's
whether they're playing Calvin Ball or something,
or if it's that they're playing a board game, or even more likely a video game, and the older one is winning all the time because she's older and has more skills,
right?
If they're getting too competitive, usually that builds up a bunch of frustration and energy on top of it just not working out well. And so usually my solution is, okay, you know, let's cut this off, and why don't you guys go swing or ride your bikes or do something to use that physical energy without being competitive.
Right. And I think we've seen that a little bit with board gaming as well, where it becomes evident before the game is over that one person's going to win and and the other person doesn't necessarily like it. And so, you know, if we were potentially planning on playing something else, we would shift that to be a collaborative game.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines where you know, if the kids are still in a mind where they want to be playing games in this kind of way, and, you know, obviously we as parents want to be playing with them, you know, changing it so that they're not antagonistic, but they're collaborative.
Or shifting to something that feels like a game but doesn't act like a game.
Hey guys, let's go stack that wood. Yeah.
No. I'm thinking of things like story cubes.
Right.
Which it feels like a game. You're rolling dice, you know, but you're just using the dice to tell a story. Or our kids think that Goldilocks is a game.
Well, because it kind of is.
Because it comes in a box, and it's got a book with sort of instructions on
steps to take. And that gets into more of the constructive construction play.
That's construction play and a little bit of fantasy role-playing as well.
Well, and, you know, when in doubt, is whip out Hero Kids.
Hey, sounds like a plan to me.
So.
But, yeah, so I thought it was really interesting to just think about these different kinds of play, how most of the things we see our kids do usually fit into more than one bucket.
But I just think that, you know, it helps us to be a little bit introspective, not necessarily in the moment, looking at what our kids are doing and what they need to shift to and whatever, but this helps us understand a little bit of the kinds of balance at a more macro level that our children should have. And so we can look at what they're engaging in and say, okay, well, you know, maybe they do need a little bit more construction play
in their life in general. I mean, this is you know, you're sitting on the couch after the kids have gone to bed. You're trying to think of some ideas or whatever. That kind of thing.
Which, by the way, I was seeing a commercial the other day for Lego, specifically targeted towards girls.
Really?
Yeah.
TV?
Facebook.
Huh.
It was a little video ad that would keep showing up on Facebook for me. But it's specifically using the Lego Friends, but it's not being like, buy our Lego Friends set.
Okay.
And it's reminding me that for girls especially, construction play usually goes hand in hand with pretend.
Well, that's the premise behind Goldieblocks.
Well, it's the premise behind Goldieblocks, but it's also the premise behind, I won't knock them down too much, behind like the Lego Friends sets, is that you're building something and then you're using that thing you built to say, okay, I built the coffee shop, or, you know, I built this little lemonade stand bicycle, and now my little guys are gonna, you know, ride around and sell lemonade to each other and do all that sort of thing. So moms and dads, if you have a girl and you're seeing that they're not really interested in building stuff, that's one way to do it, is to say, oh, hey, how about we build a house for your dolls? Or how about we, you know,
or how about we build a fort for your superheroes? Because, why do we have to stick to the gender norms here? No, that's fine.
But I think you see that in boys a lot more. They can do construction just for the sake of doing construction, but boys will also do construction and then
kick it over.
Yeah. I think of like our 4-year-old who's always building little houses for the cars and roadways and train tracks and things like that. So there's always usually a purpose with construction.
Right. Right. But yeah, so I mean, I just think that this is a helpful way for us to look at the corpus of play in the lives of our children. And
to be honest, in our own lives, reading through this list, it made me realize that I really don't enjoy doing any kind of physical play with our kids. I would much rather do any of the other three.
Oh, well, that's fine. I like beating them up. I mean, I like wrestling with them. But in all seriousness, you know, balance is important.
Yeah.
And you know, anything in excess is not good, and et cetera, et cetera. And this, I thought this list was really helpful when you shared it with me in terms of the ways that we can really balance these kind of things. And, you know, they are symbiotic in the sense that playing one will help with sort of the ancillary skills of the other ones, right?
Sure.
And so it's a neat way to sort of think about what our kids are doing and then use that sort of thought process and that analysis to maybe direct our kids a little bit into maybe learning some new things or trying some new things.
Mm-hmm.
That would encompass some more of these, these four different kinds of play. So,
yeah, I think the other thing it made me think about is how to encourage, our kids to work through doing these kinds of play with other kids as well.
Okay.
I think of one of our children in particular who's, uber competitive, and has a very hard time with competition, and also has kind of a hard time with the physicality of certain, you know, gross motor skill type stuff. So thinking about those are the major areas where we try to help that child, because they don't really have an issue. They do fine with pretend play and they do fine with constructive play, but they have some issues in the other two areas.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much playing with mom and dad, but playing with other kids.
Sure.
In that regard.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it really helps us, you know, not that we want to just completely categorize our children, but it helps. I mean, just like the AAP guidelines are guidelines, these are kinds of things that we can look at and figure out, you know, what is hypothetically considered expected/the norm and how do we make sure that those things happen?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. All right, well, that is it for us this week. Just a reminder, we mentioned it earlier in the show, but you can always check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/...
Family Gamers AA. You can also check us out on Twitter.
At
twitter.com/familygamersaa. Let's see, you can also go to the website, thefamilygamers.com, where we have some reviews and stuff like that coming up. We've actually got some Game Right Game reviews that are sort of...
That'll be coming out pretty soon.
In the kettle. They're like Irish food. They're just going to keep cooking and keep cooking until they're ready. But those will be coming pretty soon. Those are actually some really great games. We are going to talk about some stuff that you might want to think about for Christmas.
Yes.
In the coming weeks. And so that'll be both... I think we'll do a podcast about it, and we'll probably also have an article or two on the website, which will be a little bit more in depth. So those are certainly something to check out. We've got a lot of really cool stuff that we're working on, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too. Next week, we're going to start a giveaway.
We are. Awesome. I'm excited. I like giveaways.
Yeah.
We had a great time with our last giveaway. That was Lauren May Nickel won the Hero Kids collection. Yep. From Drive-Thru RPG, so that was super exciting. I really like to give stuff away. I just like to do it. So we are going to give away something. Well, we're not going to give it away next week, but we're going to open up the contest next week. Do you want to tell everybody what it is?
Nah, let's wait.
Okay. All right. So stay tuned next week when we will announce our next contest and what you need to do to win something that is super, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is.
Me too.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's us. We are the Family Gamers. Please don't forget to check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe to the show. Please
leave us a review.
We are like sitting at 4. Like, I don't know what's up with the 4, the magical 4. We need to get to 5. But anyway, so please check us out. Leave us a review. Tell your friends about us. If there is anything that you want to know, you can email us, andrew@thefamilygamers.com or
anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
And we will be happy to help you out. Check out the Facebook page because that's probably where we do the most
interaction
and posting and whatnot. And that's pretty much it for us. So until next week, play games with your kids.